Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to continue our discussion about Hashgacha and focus on a new dimension, specifically how to understand God's role in history and his involvement in the world more broadly. Thus far, we've been focusing on Hashgacha Pratis, the role of providence in a person's individual life, the view of the Rambam we discussed the first week. Last week, we focused on Ramban. This week, we're going to go and look at the question from a broader perspective and focus on the view of the Ramchal. We'll begin, though, with a comment from the Sefer HaChinuch on page 57. The Sefer HaChinuch, writing about the reason for Tzaras, notes that the mitzvah of Tzaras is to instill a person the recognition that the things that happen in his life, including something like Tzaras, come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he begins by noting that there are three views about Hashgacha. We've seen different perspectives thus far. However, his three views are the following. One, that there's Hashgacha about everything, even animals. Two, the other extreme, there's Hashgacha about nothing. Both of these views are wrong. And three, the middle perspective, the perspective that he thinks is correct, which is that there's Hashgacha about humans, but there is no Hashgacha on non-humans. So his middle view isn't like the Rambam or the Ramban precisely, who seem to understand that even within humans there was sometimes Teva. However, those are his three positions. And then he continues, if you look at Mitzvah Resh Mem Aleph, in which is the prohibition against Nekama, and he explains a very important nuance about the nature of Hashgacha in humans. He says that why is it that a person should not have Nekama? This is on the top of page 58. Mishar Shei HaMitzvah Shieda HaAdam V'yitein Elibo Ki Kol Asher Yikrehu Mitov Adra Husiba Shetavo Alav Me'es Hashem Baruch Hu. Anything that happens to a person, no matter what, whether it's good or bad, happened because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent it. U'miyad ha'adam miyad ish achiv lo yiyeh davar bilti ratzon Hashem Baruch Hu. And a person cannot be harmed by a human being. That's impossible. Al-kein, k'shitza'arehu o yach ivehu adam, yeda b'nafsho ki avonosav garmu v'Hashem yizbarach gazar alav bekach. Therefore, if a person causes you pain or suffering or the like, you shouldn't be angry, you shouldn't try to do nekama. Why? Because who's the ultimate cause of this pain that you're experiencing? It's God. And why is it happening? Because of your avonos. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to be upset, to be try to be vengeful. Now, this is very significant, because of course here he's talking about seemingly actions which are dependent upon free will. Meaning to say, if Reuven hits Shimon, or hurts Shimon, the Torah tells Shimon not to be upset, not to take revenge against Reuven. Why? Says the Chinuch, because if Shimon got hurt, that was supposed to happen. That was a gzeira from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now the question is, how does this fit with the fact that Reuven has free will? The Chinuch certainly agrees, and he says this on many occasions, that Reuven and all people have free will. So somehow or another, the Chinuch understands that both are possible. Reuven can have free will and could decide freely whether or not to hit Shimon, and yet if Shimon is hit, it's only because it was nigzar alav that he should be hit, that this is a punishment for his sins. So the question is, how are these two things possible to exist simultaneously? And that's essentially the question we're going to work on today. We've already seen last week that there are actually different perspectives on this matter. On the one hand, we saw last week the Arachayim, who seem to assume that if someone is hurt by another party, that could happen even if they're not deserving of that pain, because the other party has free will. We saw in the other extreme, the Chovos Halvavos, who says that a person, though he has free will, couldn't even commit suicide were it not that it was nigzar alav sheyamos. And along similar lines, we have this chinuch. So, how do we understand this? So here we're going to turn to the Ramchal, and we're going to focus specifically on his approach as explained in Das Tvunos. This idea is alluded to in his other works, but it's fully developed in Das Tvunos. And Das Tvunos is a very important sefer. It's a conversation between the neshama and the seichel, or an imaginary conversation. And the book begins with the following. The neshama says to the seichel that I understand and certainly I believe in all the Yud Gimel Ikarim. However, there are some of the Yud Gimel Ikarim which I understand and some I don't understand. Though I believe in all of them, some I find troubling. And so the Seichel asks the Neshama, which are the ones that bother you and which are the ones don't bother you? And the Neshama responds that the existence of God, his oneness, his eternity, his incorporeality, the notion that he created the world, the concept of prophecy, the uniqueness of the prophecy of Moshe, that Torah is from Shamayim, and its eternity, these are all things I could understand. What don't I understand? I don't understand things like Hashkacha, Schar V'onesh, Bias HaMashiach, Tchias HaMesim. Why not? The Neshama says, I look at the world, and I see all sorts of things that contradict those notions. If there's such a thing as Hashkacha, why is it that Tzadik V'ralo, Rasha V'tovlo, what is the purpose of Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba? These are all the things that I don't understand. And essentially, if we were to summarize it in one sentence, he's bothered by the problem of evil. And it's that question, more than anything else, that the entire Sefer is out to address. And essentially the Ramchal explains that there are two hanhagos in the Bria. The first is Hanhagas HaMishpat. Hanhagas HaMishpat is what we're familiar with. Yagia kapecha ki tochal. As the Ramchal says, Yagia l'chol adam kifim asav. Tov latovim v'ra l'raim. A person gets what they deserve. A person gets what's coming to them. Hatzur tamim pa'alo kichol derachav mishpat. Kala munav ein avel tzadik v'yasharhu. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives everybody what they deserve. If you get something, it's because you deserved it. And this is essentially a reactive hanhaga. You act in a certain way, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond. You, using your free will, choose. High-level choices, God will reward you. Low-level choices, you'll be punished, etc., etc. The second hanhaga is what he calls hanhagas hayichud, coming from the word echad, one. What is the significance of Hanhagas HaYichud? It is as follows. You see, if all there was Hanhagas HaMishpat, which as we said is reactive, then there could be no direction in history. History cannot lead to a certain point. There can't be a purpose in existence because, after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always reacting to how we choose. Hanhagas HaYichud is the notion that history is teleological, that there's a purpose, that there's a goal. God created the world for a reason, for a purpose, and everything that happens in history, in current events, in the world, is all leading to that point. And what is that point? That point is Achdus Hashem. There are many, many psukim, Ramchal point out, that highlight this. If you look, for example, in Parshas Hazinu, which is a summary of history, so what is the goal? What is the end? Ru'u atak yani anihu, ve'en elokim imadi. The notion, the realization, the revelation that God exists and that there is no other koach besides God. V'ya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, v'yomahu yi Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Then, and only then, will there be Achdus Hashem. Right now, there is not true Achdus. As Rashi explains, al Torah Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem echad, Hashem that is now Elokeinu will one day be echad. What does that mean? That means that though we know intellectually, certainly, that there is Achdus Hashem, but we don't perceive it in the world. Thus we daven, Yisgadal, Yisgadah, Shemei Rabbah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will become great. Because right now, from our perception, it's chaser. And the Ramchal will develop this idea. So if that's the case, that is the purpose of history. All of history is to lead up to a situation of Achdus Hashem, as the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Mem Gimel says, Leman teidu v'taminu, li v'tavinu, ki ani hu, lefanai lo notzar el, v'acharai lo yihya, anochi, anochi Hashem, v'ein mibil adi Moshia. That is the purpose of history, to lead to a situation where everybody will recognize clearly the Achdus of Hashem. Now the question is, how is it that history ends up in that direction? And moreover, how does this relate to the first Hanhaga, the Hanhaga Samishpat, which is reactive? So we'll read a little bit inside now, but that is what he's trying to address, how simultaneously both Hanhagos exist. The Hanhaga Samishpat, in which everybody gets what they're supposed to, Tov la Tovim, Vira la Rayim, and also the Hanhaga Sayichud, in which the world ends up in a particular place and heads in a particular direction. So, how does this work?
My question is, if these two things are going to work simultaneously, it would seem as if, based on the first account where things work on a measure-to-measure basis, it would seem at times, if the measure-to-measure basis is going against the direct goal, it would seem as if God would have to sacrifice free will.
That's exactly what he needs to address. That's exactly his point. So now let's see how he addresses this. So we'll read from page 59, the third paragraph, Vitavini Shoreshe. You should understand this matter. It's Tavini. He writes in feminine because he's speaking to the Neshama. Vitavini Shoresh Kolze. Ki hine hachisaron hahu lo nolad ele mehester panav shel Adon Baruch Hu. We live in a world of chisaron, which includes ra, and all ra stems from the Hester Panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ra is a real existence. It's Yotzer Ovori Choshech Oseh Shalom Uvorei Asara. It's not just a mania, a negation, as Rambam might have said, but it's an existence. However, all of it stems, ultimately, from God's Hester Panim. Shelo Ratza Lahayir Panav Al Nivraav Mitchila Miyad Shiyu Shleimim Mitchila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to reveal himself in his entirety, originally, El Adiraba, Histir Panav Mehem, Vihish Iram Chaserim, Kihine Orpine Melech Chaim Vadai, Vestero Hu Mekor Kol Ra, Vaod Nidaber Mizelakaman. Because, of course, God's Hester Panim is the source for all evil. Amnam, Hine Zehu Michuko Shel Hayichud Ha'elion Levado Baruch Hu, Laharos Otsem Mem Shalto Hashlema. Shikolas Manshu Rotze, Miniacha Olam Leo Soer Vaholech Bialde Hazman. In order to eventually reveal that Achdus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to leave the world and allow it to be Tachas Hazman, Eis Asher Shalat Haraba Olam, during the period of time where evil is dominant, or at least existent, the low ode. Elish eno me'akev al yidei hara hazeh me'asos kol asher b'kolchol asos. God does not withdraw, God does not prevent evil, meaning to say people's free choices, from going to their ultimate conclusion. And thus, he allows this freedom, he creates a world such that there will be free choice, and he allows the free choice to exist, such that people, using their free choice, will cause a proliferation of evil at times. Vafilu megios briosav ad hadiyuta tachtona, even if that causes his creations to reach the lowest level. Efes kilo mipnei ze yovado lamo, he won't allow his world to ultimately be destroyed. Ki amem shala lo levado, v'hu asa, v'hu sovel, v'hu mechaitz, v'hu yirpa, v'ein od novado. Okay, v'hine, ze yased chazak le'umana le'amunas b'nei Yisrael, asher lo yerech libam lo me'orach hagalos v'lo me'miruso hakasha. And therefore, the Jewish people should not give up even when they experience the tumultuous pains of the exile. Ki adirabba, here she'kadosh baruch hu v'niach hara la'asos kol ma she'bekocho la'asos. Because it's happening because God is allowing evil to do all that it's capable of doing. Kemo she'biarnu. Uvesof hakol, but ultimately what will the end be? Kol yoser shehiksha hara es ivel sivlo al habrios kain yoser yigalekoach yichudo yisborach umemshalto ha'atzuma asher hu kol yachol umitoch ome katzaros harabos v'araos matzmiach yeshua b'kocho agadol v'adai. Says the Ramchal that the Ur can only be mizgala mitoch hachoshech. There'll be no appreciation of light unless there's darkness. If all there is light, we won't appreciate it. We need darkness to appreciate light. And likewise, we need to be able to perceive the absence of God in order to appreciate his presence. As it were, if the entire world was green and we saw nothing but green, we wouldn't appreciate green because all we see is green. So likewise, kaviyachol, a person, humanity couldn't come to a recognition of the Achdus Hashem without their at some point in time perceiving its opposite, its lack. And that's only possible through Hester Panim. And thus, that's the Anhagas HaYichud. How does that relate to the Anhagas HaMishpat? So he says, continuing on page 59 in Simen Kuf Samach Vav, Amar HaSeichel, Hinei kevan shesam ha'adon baruch hu hanhagas haschar ve'onesh me'ata yagia l'chol adam kefim asav tov la'tovim v'ra l'rayim. Like we said before, everybody gets what they deserve. Amnam ha'etza ha'muka shal adon baruch hu. The etza ha'muka is that what? Hu l'galgel advarim ba'ofen shelo tiyah hanhaga ela l'tov Veloya mitzius ra klal ba'olam, v'zeh nikra tikun hanhaga atzma v'zikucha. And he continues, explaining how both of these are simultaneously possible. Continuing the next paragraph, amnam shoresh himatza hara b'anhaga kvar pirashnuhu shehu mitam gilui yichudo yisbarach shetzarech legalos hara ulahanicho lasos kol ma shebechuko Laharos achar kach yichud shlitaso yizbarach bechziru asolatov. The giloy will take place when he restores the world from a situation where evil is triumphant to one in which there'll be only good. And as we said, the or is nikar mitocha choshech. Skipping to page 60, the highlighted text. Lefi aseder now, during this period of time, the period of time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows evil to exist, there are times in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot look at Tzchus and Chova. Elan Haga noheges lefisi dareha, dehainu, laniach tigbores lera, kidei liroz achar kach shitas atov. Thus, it's necessary that evil be allowed to take its course so that eventually the Shlita Satov will be able to be completed. V'chozman tigbores hara, hine gam atovim yitzdarchu la'amod tachas in oni hara. And thus, even those who are good, even those who are righteous, he's addressing here the issue of tzaddik v'ra'lo, are forced to be subject to ra. Lo mipnei sha'din kach, not because they deserve it, because the time dictates that this is necessary. Eventually, of course, everybody will get what they deserve when Tov is allowed to dominate. And thus, skipping to the next line, paragraph, Nimtza Shem Adon Baruch Hu Rotzel Nahag Olamo Lefi Hanhagas Hayachid Lakir Haor Mitoch Hachoshech Velasos Lara Atzmo Yachzor Latov Hine Yitzdarch Latet Tigbores Lara Below Hishkif Aschus Tzadikim. Thus God, as it were, has to look away from the righteousness of the tzaddikim in order to allow for the tigboris hara through freedom, through free choice, which will eventually be able to allow for gilui kavodo. Now, we're not going to read too much more about this, but let's just see two more sentences. Skip to page 61 from Simon Kuf Ayin. Shoresh hanhaga be'emes hu inyan hatikun haklali shall call on himself. So thus, the hanhaga, put more broadly, is this tikun haklali, the ultimate rectification, the purpose of all history, of all existence. And everything is to get there. B'chol gilgulei hanhaga zos einam ela sibuvei dvarim halchim el tachlis hatikun haklali hazesh hazecharnu. Everything else is leading up to this point. And likewise, in Klach Pesrei Chachma Ayin Ches, he writes, "Uvesof kol ha-sibuv yeh tikun ha-shalem." After everything is said and done, there'll be the tikun ha-shalem. Al pima she-nasa, based on that which was done and that which was chosen, im tov ve-imra, chas v'shalom, both for good and bad. And here I'd like to now try to explain this a little deeper and show how, with this idea, we could go back to a number of the perplexing things that we've seen earlier throughout this year, and perhaps understand them a little more completely. The Ramchal here says that there is this ultimate purpose, hanhagas ha-yichud. However, how that yichud takes place is going to depend on the free choices of human beings. The yichud will happen either way, but how it happens will depend. If a person chooses good choices, then the yichud will take place and be revealed one way, and if they choose badly, it will happen differently. Let's go back for a moment to a line from the Ramban about the hardening of Paro's heart, which we saw a couple weeks ago, and a couple months ago, and I think now we'll be able to understand it a lot better. The Ramban, which you could see quoted on page 65, under where it says 3, says the following. Fatam Hasheni, again the Ramban is addressing how is it that God could take away Paro's free will. Ki hayu chatzi amakos alav bepish'au, ki lo ne'amar bahen rak vayichazek leiv paro, v'yichabed paro es libo, etc. The first 5 makos, of course, God did not harden his heart. V'hinei lo ratzo l'shalcham l'kovet Hashem, Paro did not want to send the Bnei Yisrael to freedom, l'kavod Hashem. Meaning to say, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the purpose of history generally, was legalos kivodo yisporach. The Ramban says that time and time again in these parshios, in the beginning of Shmos. That was the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reveal himself to all of humanity. And thus, that needed to happen. That gilui kivodo, the Ramban says, had to happen. The Paro did not want to send the Jewish people l'kavod Hashem. Aval kasher gavru ha-makos alav v'nil elis bolosam. However, when the makos came and he couldn't withstand the pressure, rachli bo v'hayan nimlach l'shalcham mikovod ha-makos. He was going to allow the Jews to go free, not l'kavod Hashem, but mikavod kovod ha-makos, because of the pain, because his arm was being twisted. And then what would have happened? Would there have been the Gilui Kavodo? No. If after the 5th Makkah, Paro would have allowed the Jewish people free, however, not L'Kavod Hashem, but because his arm was being twisted, there wouldn't have been that appropriate Gilui Kavodo. And thus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart. Why? V'az hiksha Hashem es rucho v'imetzes levavo l'man saper shemo kinyan shekasa v'skadelti v'skadeshti v'nodati le'ne goyim rabim. That is the purpose. The purpose is that HaKadosh Baruch will reveal himself to the world. Those are the psukim, of course, from Yechezkel discussing the Milchames Gog Magog, of which the ultimate conclusion is v'skadelti v'skadeshti. That's what Kaddish is based on. Yiskadal v'skadash shmei rabba is based on those psukim, where we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehei shmei rabba mevorach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be one, will be clear. That is the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what had to happen. Now, it could have happened in one of two ways. It could have happened because Paro decided after the 5th Makkah, say, to allow the Jewish people to go l'kavod Hashem. Had Paro said after the 5th Makkah, you know, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Hu HaTzadik, and meant it. Ein od milvado, the Jewish people could go, that would have been megala kvodo yisparach. But he didn't. He wanted to keep the Jews, and while he might have capitulated, that only was as a result of his arm being twisted. And so what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the strength to do what he wanted to do, namely keep them there. That's what we focused on last time. But now let's focus on a different dimension. What's the Ramban saying? The Ramban is saying that the goal was going to happen one way or the other. Giloy Kavodo Yisbarach. However, how it was going to happen was going to depend precisely on Paro's freedom. If Paro chose to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it would have happened one way. And he could have allowed the Jews to go without the Makos. Or, if he chose poorly, then it was going to happen a different way, with the Makos. The goal, the result is always the same. It's Gilui Kavodo. But the question is how. That's what the Ramban says. And that's what the Ramchal is saying here. There is ultimately, no matter what humans choose freely, going to be the same result. Gilui Kavodo. However, how that Gilui takes place is going to depend entirely on the free choices that humans make. If humans choose one way, let's say they choose good, as though Paro would have allowed the Jews to go, Leman Shemo, so then there would be a Gilui Kavodo without so much Ra. Or if they choose badly, then the Ra, the Gilui Kavodo will happen mitoch the Ra. This is what we saw all the way even earlier in the year, the comment from Reb Tzadok that so many of us had a lot of difficulty. Now we could go back and I think understand it a lot more. Let's look at that comment, one line from Reb Tzadok. It's quoted in footnote 112 on page 61. Ikar atshuva hu ad sheyeir Hashem einav sheyiyuz donos kizchuyos. Ratzalomar sheyakir viyavin shekol ma shechata haya gam kein beratzon Hashem yisbarach. The Reb Tzadok says, what is Ikar Tshuva? Ikar Tshuva is the recognition that the Chataim were Meiratzon Hashem. What does that mean? The Chataim are Meiratzon Hashem. It's because the Chataim are also Ratzon Hashem. Because Ratzon Hashem is Legalos Kavodo. And the Kavod could be Nizgala through one of two ways. Through choosing good, and that will be Megala Kavodo. And through choosing Ra. And the Gilui Kavodo will come Meha'or Sheba Mitoch HaChoshech, just like Paro. There was going to be the same Gilui Kavodo one way or the other. The question is, how is it going to happen? And that was Paro's choice. Likewise, we have free choice, but the ultimate result is going to be the same. And thus, if a person does Tshuva Shlema, they recognize that both there's Donos, their Averos, and their Mitzvos are Ratzon Hashem. Why? Because ultimately they yield the same purpose, Gilui Kavodo. And therefore, Reb Tzadok says that Be'etzim, there's no Stira between Yediyah and Bechira, as he quotes from the Ari's Sefer Arba Meo Shekel Kasef, B'makom HaBechira, Sham Ein Makom LeYediyah, V'makom HaYediyah, Sham Ein Makom LeBechira. What does that mean? That's the two Hanhagos. There's Hanhagos HaYichud and Hanhagos HaMishpat. What he means to say is that there's no contradiction between Hanhagos HaYichud and Hanhagos HaMishpat. Because the Hanhagos HaYichud, where we say that there's Ratzon Hashem, there's no Bechira, is one thing. And that exists simultaneously with the other Hanhaga. Now, this, of course, as we said, is a very high madrig of tshuva, because the only way somebody is going to realize that HaKol Mimenu Yisbarach, and both the Chataim and the Averos and the Mitzvot are Ratzono Hashem, is if you come to a Hakara of truly Ein Od Milvado, right? But if you do reach that madriga, then even your Avonos becomes Chuyos, because they too had a role in Megala Kvodo Yisbarach. The truth of the matter is that this idea is not just an idea in Ramchal, and as we saw in Ramban and Reb Tzadok, but you see it in Chazal and in the Psukim as well. Rav Eli Baruch Shulman pointed out a beautiful medrash in the Tanchuma, Vayeshev Simen Dalet on page 62, that highlights this idea in Chazal as well. The medrash writes, Bo re'ek, Shabar Kadosh Baruch Hu es ha'olam, Miyom harishon bara malach hamaves. Minayin amar grachia mishum shenemar v'choshech al pnei tohom. Zemelach malach hamaves hamechashech pneihem shel brios. V'adam niver b'shishi v'alila nitlabo shehu hevias hamisa liolam shenemar ki biyom achalcham imenu mos tamos. Says the Medrash an amazing thing. It's explaining the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nora Alila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan in the world. What was the plan? Like we said before, that there would be Orish and Nizgal mitoch HaChoshech. And thus he created the Malach HaMavis on which day? Miyom HaRishon. However, of course, the Malach HaMavis didn't really come into existence, we know, until Yom HaShishi, when Adam chose freely to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tov HaRa and brought Misa into the world. What the Medrash is saying is remarkable. Saying, of course, that was the plan the whole time. Yet, it's also true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam free will. So, it was created on the first day. However, it really only came into existence on the sixth day based on free choice. Both hanhagos are true. There's hanhagos hamishpat, which said that the Malach HaMavis only comes into existence on the sixth day after Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Das Tov HaRa, there had to be Misa Ba'olam. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu all recreated on the first day. And the Medrash shows beautifully how this explains the story of Yosef. If you turn to page 63, Vam Reb Yudan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevakesh l'kayim gzeiras yado ateda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan already from Yimei Avram that Kal Yisrael would go to Mitzrayim. Yado ateda. Ve'hevi ha'alila l'chol dvarim elu k'dei sh'yahav Yaakov es Yosef v'yisne'uhu achav yimkeru oso l'yishme'elim v'yoriduhu l'mitzrayim v'yishma Yaakov sh'yosef chai b'mitzrayim v'yerda im ha'shvatim v'yishtabdu sham. Havevi Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. Al Tikri Hurad Elohorid Es Aviv Ashvatim L'Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan from Yimei Avram that Klal Yisrael would go into Mitzrayim V'ger Yezaracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem V'avadum V'yinu Osam V'a, etc. That was the plan from the beginning. Elamai, how did it happen? It happened through the free choices of many, many, many independent actors. Yosef decided to choose freely to do things that would bring upon him the jealousy of his brothers. And the brothers decided freely to respond to that and sell him to the Midianim. And so on and so forth. All these free choices brought it about. However, of course, we know that it was the plan from the beginning. And thus, the Medrash says that there's a plan, in this case, Yado Ateda. However, it's brought about through the free choices, and the truly free choices, of all the individual actors. And the truth is, you see this in the psukim themselves. Vayomer Yehudama manomar ladoni manidaber manitzdadak ha'aluhim matzas avon avadacha. Why are we here, says Yehuda, in Mitzrayim, imprisoned? Hashkacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us. Yosef says later, no, it was your choices. Ani Yosef, Achichem, Asher Machartem Osi Mitzrayima. You sent me to Mitzrayim. But yet, Yosef says just three psukim later, Vata, Lo Atem Shalachtem Osi Ki HaElohim. No, it was God. Vatem Chashavtem Alai Ra, you thought bad. Elokim Chashva Letova, Leman Asos Kayom Hazeh Lachayos Amrav. Back and forth, the psukim say again and again that yes, it was the Shvatim's free choice, but Yosef keeps on saying, it wasn't you who brought me down here, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atem chashavtem alai ra, Elokim chashva letova, lo atem shalachtem osi heina, ki im ha'alokim. Right? Both are true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan, but you through your free choices, brought about this plan. Now, this is important on an individual level. When a person is thinking about the choices and what happens to them in life, they have to recognize, of course, that they're responsible for their own choices that were made freely. And yet, it's also true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about his plan through that. But it goes even further. One of the ironies here is, interestingly enough, that even Yosef, who kept on saying it was Hashkacha, didn't even fully appreciate L'chaora, the purpose, because he kept on saying, you were sent down here Kila Michya, so that there'll be food to survive the famine. He didn't realize that it went much deeper, because why was there a famine to bring them down? And ultimately, what was the purpose? As Chazal say, Ela me'etza amuka shaloso tzadik hakavur b'chevron l'kayim masha amar la'avram b'vir spena b'sarim kiger yazaracha. It was all part of an even bigger picture that even Yosef doesn't fully recognize. And with this idea, we could understand a number of ideas. We saw again earlier in the year the Rambam in Perek Vav of Hilchos Tshuva, who asks the following, bottom of 63, Valokasa Batora Vavadumi Nu Osam, Haigazar la Mitzriim Lasos Ra, Viksiv Vakam Ha'am Hazeh, Vizanah Hare Elohene Echar Haaretz, Haregazar al Yisrael Lavod, Kochavim Mazalos, Velo Nifra Mehem, Lefisha Lo Gazar al Ish Ploni Hayadua Shiyahu Hazona, Ella Kol Echad Be'echad Me'osam, Hazonim Lavod, Kochavim Mazalos, Ilu Ratzal Avod Lohaya Oved, and etc. Vachain Hamitzrim, Kol Echad Be'echad Me'osan Hamitzrim, Ve, etc. The Rambam here asks that there's a problem. On the one hand, God says, Kiger Yazarecha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, that the Jewish people will go down to Egypt. That was a gzeira. On the other hand, of course, the Egyptians are punished for their evil. Why? And he answers the following. He answers, because each individual Egyptian had free choice whether or not to enslave, to persecute the Jewish people. Yes, there was a gzeira, Kiger Yazarecha Vavadum Minu Osam, but yet each individual actor maintained his freedom whether or not to persecute the Jews. Earlier, we quoted the Lecha Mishnah, who was very bothered by this. The Rambam here seems to repeat his question that he had in Parakei. In Parakei, he asked, how do you reconcile free will and divine foreknowledge? And he gave an answer, that there's a distinction between divine knowledge and human knowledge. Divine knowledge, foreknowledge doesn't contradict free will, human knowledge does. And this is something that's beyond our ability to fully understand. And then, one parak later, in Parak Vav, he asks the same question again, and gives a different answer. This time his answer is that each individual Egyptian had free will. What's going on? Why does he repeat the question? Moreover, we're bothered by the question of the Ravid over here. The Ravid says, how could you say that every Egyptian had free will, and yet at the same time say there was a gzeira? Right? Val michal gzeirascha, the Ravid says. Al osan shalo zanu, halo lo niskayin gzeirascha. How could that be? If everybody's free, how could there be a free choice? Last time when we addressed the answer, we addressed this issue, we gave the approach of the Or Sameach, a very, very true and beautiful approach. However, from today's perspective, we have a different answer. The Rambam in Parakei and Parak Vav is asking two different questions. The Rambam in Parakei asks an epistemological question. How can you reconcile free will and foreknowledge? If God's knowledge is dependent on things that are not as of yet determined, that means it's incomplete. And to that epistemological question, he gives an epistemological answer, namely that divine knowledge is different and not subject to the same limitations that human knowledge or foreknowledge would be subject to. Now he's asking a different question. His question is, how, he wouldn't have used these terms, but to use the Ramchal's terms, how can we reconcile on Hagas HaYichud and on Hagas HaMishpat? In other words, how can we reconcile the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, in this case, Vavadum Vinu Osam, Yado HaTeida, and the idea that the Egyptians had free will? And his answer is that they're both reconcilable. It's not a contradiction, because while the Gzeira is said generally, there are many ways in which the Gzeira could take place, and there are many actors, and there are many Egyptians, and while each individual Egyptian had free will, still the Gzeira was going to happen. And if you look at the questions that the Ravid and the Ramban ask on this, you see that part of the issue was that they're asking and answering a different question. They weren't bothered by the issue of the Hanhaga as much as how is it just for the Egyptians to be punished if they're being mekayim the gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to that they answered that they went too far, and therefore it was an Akim Akzera, you have to be Mechavim Latov, and the like. Oh. And thus, we go back to what we started with. We started with the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch said that what is the Shoresh of Nekima? Why shouldn't I take revenge? Because I recognize Ki Kol Asher Yikrehu Mito Vadra Husiba Shetava Olav Meis Hashem Baruch Hu, that everything that happens to me because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Gozer. Those are his words. Hakshem Yisbarach Gazar Olav Bekach. And therefore I shouldn't be angry at someone who hurts me or harms me or offends me, because if I was hurt or harmed or offended, that was a gzeirah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And thus, even though that person has free will and he will be judged for his transgression, nevertheless, I, and from my perspective, have to recognize that this is a gzeirah of God. Again, the Chinuch says both are true simultaneously. Here we're talking about an individual level, that there could be these two anhagos, and we saw in the Ramchal and the Ramban the notion of that two anhagos on a national level. But ultimately, it's the same point. Now, of course, the question that remains, the difficult question, is how is it that these are both possible? After all, they seem to be a contradiction. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, and the plan will be fulfilled one way or the other, and yet people have free will? So going back through what we've seen thus far, I think we could identify four answers, which will help us understand it, though ultimately it's a mystery. As the Medrash that we saw said, this is Nora Lilosov. This is something that ultimately is beyond our full comprehension. The first approach, the first answer, the resolution, is what we saw in the Rambam, that there are many ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be Mekayim Gzeirosov. The Gzeira of Yado Ateda could have been Mekuyim through many, many different Egyptians. As it were, there is, to give perhaps a more contemporary example, if the Holocaust happened, it happened because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen. It would not have happened, 6 million Jews would not have been killed and millions of others tortured, if that wasn't Ritzono Yisbarach. And yet, it wouldn't have also happened if not for individuals having freedom. There were Germans who chose to kill Jews. There were Germans that chose to not actively kill, but stand by and watch. And there are Germans that chose to help and secretly, at risk of their own life, save. There were Chassidei Umos HaOlam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a gzeira, but each individual German could choose which camp they wanted to fall into. The gzeira was going to happen either way, but every German could choose, just like the Rambam says about every Egyptian. They could choose whether they're going to be among those that were murderers or those that were going to be among those who were righteous and help and save. And thus, this is an idea. We'll have to see. Perhaps this can't fully answer the question, but this is the idea that the gzeira could come about through many ways, and thus, because it could come about through many ways, both anhagos are possible. And this is an idea that has many parallels in the physical world. To give Mr. Siegel, who isn't here this morning, gave me an example. He said, first of all, on a quantum level, but even on an atomic level, imagine, let's say, carbon dating. So when it comes to radioactive decay, every atom, as it were, could choose whether it's going to last, obviously not choose in the free sense, but eons, or decay immediately. But overall, it decays in a very predictable way so that you can use it to figure out something's age. So the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make predictions about the general population, or even a human statistician could make predictions about the general population, even if every individual actor has free choice, and nevertheless the predictions will come true with a very high degree of accuracy. The second, yeah.
Everyone would have to exercise their free choice not to do it. The gzeira would not have happened. It's like the
Ravid's question.
Like the reason you're allowed to eat the taruv is because we say it's in the other one. Ultimately, you're eating it. Someone had to.
Okay, so that's the Ravid's question. And it's a very good question, but
it's like a nice. It's a svara. It's a yeshiva svara.
Okay. Well, I'll try to better answer that question, but. Naniach your question, you'll say that works most of the time, but sometimes it won't work, right? So we have another answer beyond what the Rambam says. And the second point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring things about in a way that doesn't challenge people's freedom. The Ramban in Parshas Vayeshev writes that the Pasuk says Yosef's going down looking for his brothers. As Yaakov sent him, he gets lost on the way. Somebody finds him and gives him proper guidance. Says the Ramban that Chazal here say that this was, of course, a malach who directed him. And what does this teach us? Velohodianu od, ki agzera emes, we're on page 65. Ki agzera emes v'acharitzus sheker. Kadosh Baruch Hu had a plan, like we saw, Yado Ateda, and Hagzera Emes Vacharitza Sheker. So Kadosh Baruch Hu can bring things into the world to push his agenda, as it were, to fulfill his plan in ways which don't violate freedom. Here, according to Chazal, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a malach. Ramban implies it doesn't really matter whether it was a human or a malach, the point is the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this case, directed Yosef to his brothers in a way that didn't challenge free will. And thus, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu preserve the freedom and still be Mekayim his Gzeira through other means which don't challenge freedom? That's the Ramban's second yesod. The third yesod that we saw from the Ramban earlier is, again, the idea that there might be times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will intervene, like the hardening of Paro's heart, in order to be Mekayim his Gzeira. Like we saw the Ramban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want it to be Megala Kvodo. Paro maintained his free will, but if he made a certain choice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened, not just in a way that was irrelevant to free choice, like in the case of sending a malach to direct Yosef to his brothers, but even affecting Paro's choice-making and determining. And thus, how can that be? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu be Mekayim both Hanhagos? There are times, the Ramban says, that we'll have Vayichabed Hashem Es Libo. And finally, the fourth answer is that there are times, the Ramchal says, as we read before, where the Anhagas HaYichud will be particularly powerful. Other times, the Anhagas HaYichud will be weaker and Anhagas HaMishpat will be stronger. But there will be times in history where, in order to bring about the Gzeira and the purpose, the Anhagas HaYichud will be particularly powerful. Through these four means, each one, in a certain sense, a little stronger than the previous, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings out his plan. Yes?
The third one you gave about there being times in history where God will intervene, just to clarify, was that God will intervene even in regards to free will? Or?
Well, according to Ramban, as we saw before, he doesn't take away his free will, but he intervenes in his decision-making process.
Okay. Well, what would be the difference between in that case, God intervening and God not intervening? Wouldn't God be active in the whole time?
No, because had HaKadosh Baruch Hu just intervened externally by bringing the Makos, Paro would have relented and allowed them to go, but not Mikovet HaMakos, not Lekovet Hashem, but rather Mikovet HaMakos. Right? In other words, was it just the second type of intervention, which is
external?
Which is external, so then the Gzeira wouldn't have been Mekuyim, because he would have let the Jews go, but Mikovet HaMakos. And thus, he had to have an even stronger level of intervention, in which he intervened and was vayichabed Hashem es libo. But nevertheless, even that, Ramban says, does not get rid of his freedom, because had he wished to allow the Jewish people to go, leman kvodo yisborach, then he had that free choice. He was still given the choice whether to do right or wrong. So thus, level 3 is going much further than level 2, just as level 2 is going much further than level 1.
I think you mentioned last semester about Hashem can intervene for the kolos on the leaders of...
I would put in category number 4, which is that there are times when Hanhagas Yichud is much more dominant, and one manifestation of that would be the idea that Lev Malachim Biad Hashem, and that I guess fits both in 3 and 4, which is that when it comes to certain periods in history, there's a higher level of intervention, and likewise, when it comes to certain people, there's a higher level of intervention.
You could argue that if every single Egyptian opted out of the Shibud, so Paro couldn't have been there in the Shibud anyways.
Absolutely. And the Rambam doesn't say that, but you could argue that, as from the Psukim certainly very powerfully, that the level of intervention that maybe for all the individual private citizens in Egypt, they only had a much lower level of intervention. They had total freedom, and Paro was different. Mm-hmm. Okay. As usual, I didn't get as much done as I want, so we're going to skip the approach of the Beis Elokim. If you want to read it yourself, it's on page 67 and 68 and 69. Very beautiful approach. Dimabit. To these questions of the nature of Hanhaga and Hashkacha. Also, we're going to skip the approach of the Abar Benel, which you can find on page 69 and 70. Also, very important Makor. And we'll now begin, and I guess we'll finish this next time. We'll finish this unit, Bezras Hashem, next Friday, and we'll start the next topic. We'll now, I do, though, before we finish, want to talk a little bit about Chassidus and the Mahalich of Hashkacha and Chassidus. There are many famous statements from the Baal Shem Tov about the very, very, very powerful and all-encompassing nature of Hashkacha. And the Baal Shem Tov seems to adopt the approach at first glance, which is rejected by all the Rishonim, or at least almost all the Rishonim, namely that there's Hashkacha pratis about absolutely everything, every blade of grass, every animal, and the like. There are 4 statements to this effect among his Talmidim in page 70 and 71. We'll just read the first one. This is from the Imre Pinchas, from Rav Pinchas of Koritz, who was one of his Talmidim. He writes, Ha'adam tzarech lahamin shafilu kash hamunach al ha'aretz hu begzeres Hashem yisborach. There's a piece of straw on the ground in front of you, in such and such way, in such and such place, that too is a gzera. Shegazer lios munach sham, v'ani, meaning I, Rav Pinchas, shamati kemeduma b'zeh lashon shiyesh hashgacha pratis, eich tehe munachas, im haktsavos lakan o lakan. Even exactly how it's placed. And of course we saw from the beginning, on our first day, that this idea is rooted in Chazal. In Chazal, we have midrashim about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer al kol esev esev, that there's a malach hamemuna. That might not mean gzera, but it might mean gzera. Right? Amar of Simon, back to page 2. Ein lecha kol esev esev she'en lo mazel berakia, shema ke'oso v'omer lo gedel. So, that's the Yesod. And the question is, how do we reconcile this with what we saw earlier? Doesn't this contradict the Rishonim? So the first point is that an idea we said last week, very briefly, this is not to say there isn't a machlokas, but it's smaller than what might appear at first, which is that though the Rishonim all said that, yes, there's no hashgacha pratis on animals, only hashgacha klalis, what that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to use the example we gave last week, doesn't care about Betsy the cow for the sake of Betsy the cow. In terms of that, it's only hashgacha klalis of the min that there'll be cows. However, if the farmer Yankala, his cow Betsy dies, so that's hashgacha pratis, in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yankala to go through the travails of his cow dying. So there is hashgacha on the cow, but it's begeder hashgacha klalis from the perspective of the cow, but insofar as it relates to Yankala, the farmer, it's hashgacha pratis. That's point one. Point two is, and I guess we'll have to develop this a little more next week, but generally speaking, as you go from the early Rishonim to the later Rishonim, and from the later Rishonim to the early Achronim, and the early Achronim to the later Achronim, there's definitely a trend, with exceptions, in which you see hashgacha becoming more and more and more broad. So it's not just with the Hasidim, as we just saw, but if you look at the Chazon Ish or Rav Dessler, which we'll do next week, they all seem to assume that there's hashgacha on absolutely everything. Now, what happened? Why is this happening? So I don't really know. But one reason might have to do with the following. Part of the motivation of the limitations of hashgacha pertain to Greek philosophy, which over the last couple centuries has become less and less and less popular. The Rambam writes, for example, that, as we saw, I agree with Aristotle when it comes to animals, but the Torah when it comes to humans, when he said that there's hashgacha on humans, but no hashgacha on animals. When he said, I agree with Aristotle, it's not just he's saying Aristotle's position is correct, but presumably, because Aristotle's science and philosophy made him recognize that there can't be hashgacha on animals. The Baal Shem Tov was not as moved by Aristotelian philosophy, and that's alike. Okay, I guess we'll pick up with this next week because there's more to be mined. Before we go, I just wanted to, Purim's coming up, I wanted to invite all of you. I assume all of you won't come, so it's like the Rambam said, that you can make predictions based on the if all of you come, you could all come also, but I wanted to invite any of you who would like to come to Suda with me on Purim. If anyone's interested, it would be it's a nice opportunity to talk about Hashgacha and Machshava in a different context. So if anyone's interested, just please tell me. It would be an honor and a pleasure to have you, and also have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.